The time is 8 p.m. Weather conditions: partly cloudy. Temperature 45 degrees. WA2HKS repeater, Buffalo.
Well, good evening, all. This is Jeremy, N2UGS, located in Williamsville. Welcome to the Bear Attack and Informational Net. Is there any priority traffic on frequency? Please call now. Priority your emergency traffic. With nothing heard, let's continue on. This net meets every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Our focus is on technical aspects of amateur radio. Whether you're an experienced operator, a new ham, or just curious about the technology behind your hobby, you're right here in the right place. During this net, we discuss topics such as equipment, antennas, propagation, digital modes, troubleshooting techniques, and emerging technologies in amateur radio. The goal is to share knowledge, learn from one another, and encourage experimentation and problem-solving within our community. All licensed amateur radio operators are welcome to participate. Please keep your transmissions concise and relevant to the technical topic at hand. When checking in, please give the club call, W2EUP. We're going to be using the club call to check in. So when calling me, use the call W2EUP. Let up on your mic and listen to ensure you're not doubling just like this. Then count to three, then give your call sign slowly, along with your name and location. All right, Thomas, are you ready?
W2UP, this is W2BYJ, I'm here.
All right, Thomas. Thomas is going to be doing our net logging for this evening's net. So anybody on frequency wishing to join the net, give your call sign slowly along with your name and location, and we'll get you checked in. Please call W2EUP.
W2EUP. DC2XT, Rick Tanawanda, thought I'd start it off.
W2EUP. KA8BYU, Roy in Blaisdell.
W2EUP. Here is W2ZZA Dave in South Cheapdewater.
W2EUP. This is 82 GFZ Booth in the town of Tonawanda. And by the way, 82 GCL George, also in Tonawanda. Good evening.
W2EUP. Good evening, N2LCJ, Tim in North Cheektowaga.
W2EUP. W2AJR, Andy, Cheektowaga.
W2EUP. W2EUP, this is KE2GCW, Greg in Snyder.
W2EUP, KE2FLX, Kyle, Chief.
W2EUP, KE2AAC, Andrew and Clarence.
All right, let's hold it right there. We'd like to welcome Thomas, W2BYJ, in Tonawanda. Rick, KC2XD, the director of the TechNet. Rick, in Tonawanda. KA8BYU, Roy in Blaisdell. Good evening, Roy. Dave, W2ZZA in Cheektowaga. Good evening, Dave. We've got KD2GSZ. That's Ruth in Tonawanda. And KD2GCL. That's George. Hello, Ruth and George. And then we've got N2LCJ. Tim in Cheektowaga at the laboratory. Good evening, Tim. And then we have Andy, W2AJR. Good evening, Andy. And the KE2GCW, Greg, our meshtastic expert. He might be able to chime in on tonight's topic a little bit. And then we've got KE2FLX, Carl. Good evening, Carl. And then Andrew, KE2AAC, and Clarence. Good evening, Andrew. Nice to hear from you tonight. Stand by one sec. All right, so if you guys would like to follow along, and you can go to barra-tech.com, that's barra-tech.com, or Bravo Alpha Romeo Romeo Alpha dash Tango Echo Charlie Hotel.com, and then on the top of the page there, look for a button that says Weekly Topic. Press the Weekly Topic button, and that'll bring you up to weather stations and APRS CWAP. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And it's a great night to talk about this because it looks like we've got some lake effect rain setting up south of Buffalo. If we look at the radar right now, looks like what it looks like in the wintertime, only it's rain and not snow, which those guys down south are lucky.
Break.
Go ahead there.
Weekly Topic button currently takes you to last week's topic. This is W2BYJ back to net.
Let me see here.
Works for me, ZZA.
As well, AJR.
All right, Thomas, you might want to hit shift and refresh. Or hold down shift while pressing refresh. That'll do it for you. So anyway, back to our topic. Thank you. I hope that works out for you, Thomas. Many amateur radio operators integrate personal weather stations with APRS and CWAP. Also known as the Citizen Weather Observer Program. We share live weather data over RF and the Internet. APRS reports are transmitted via packet radio to local iGates, which forward the data to the CWAP network, and then on to NOAA's MADIS system, where it can be used for forecasting and research. With the right setup, your weather station can automatically send temperature, wind speed, humidity, and other data. For like example, how much rain we got, making it a part of a global volunteer observation network. This is especially useful during the severe weather events and providing hyperlocal data to meteorologists. We're going to have a few questions tonight. Hold. And basically, we just want to know if you have a weather station, and do you have that weather station hooked up to the CWAP network or to APRS? And if you don't, hopefully this demonstration or presentation will get you your feet wet on how to do that. So if you scroll down, or if you click on Weekly Topic and you scroll down to the bottom of the page, there's a PowerPoint demonstration in there. You can actually maximize that presentation by clicking the little button in the bottom right-hand corner of the window, and that should maximize your presentation in your browser window. Starting with slide one, we're just talking about weather stations and integrating your weather station with NOAA and APRS, so we can share data across all of our networks. What the citizen, on the slide two here, with the Citizen Weather Observer program connects your station to, like I said, to NOAA and the MADIS networks, enhances data coverage and forecast accuracy. MADIS is the meteorological assimilation data ingest system. So it takes all the information from all the different sensors that are connected into the network and brings it together for our meteorologists to see how they can predict the weather better. So the more stations we have out there, the better our weather prediction is. On to slide number three. Why do you want to participate? Just like I said, we want local meteorologists to be able to read our data and predict our weather better. If we're going to get 5 feet of snow in the South Towns, they can use that data to predict that area. Also, Michael Brennan, the director of NOAA, he's a big, if you go, there's a little write-up about him and the CWAP program. So yes, meteorologists all over the world use the CWAP program. On to message number, or on to slide number four, we're going to look at CWAP in the Western New York area. So on that picture there, to the left is a map of where I live in North Amherst or Williamsville area. My specific station is called KNYAMHER 113. If you click on that, well, you can't click on that, but if you're on Weather Underground, you'd be able to click on that and look at all the history. I've had my weather station up since over a year now, so you're going to have a year of data that you can look at, except for one day. I think it was like on July 1st, my temperature reading got messed up, and it says 156 degrees, but that really didn't happen. So if you take a look there, there are quite a few stations in the area. It's very easy to connect your weather station to the CWAP program, or to Weather Underground as well. Let's see here. As far as weather stations, let's move on to slide at number five. As far as weather stations, I use the Accurite 5-in-1. And what that has is wind direction, wind speed. It'll tell you how much it's rained, what the temperature is, barometric pressure, and it's not, you would think that the readings are instant. They're not very instant. They probably update every 30 seconds, maybe a minute and 30 seconds. I would say closer to 30 seconds. It does have a lightning sensor too. And I found that the accurate ones are more affordable than pretty much anything else that's out there. There's some other ones out there that we'll look at in just a second here that are quite more expensive than the Accurite stations. And I'll tell you what, I've had mine up there. It has solar panel on it. I put some lithium batteries in it, and I've had the same set of batteries in it since I put it up. The lithium batteries were a little bit more expensive, but they are worth the cost. All right, let's move on to slide number six. So we've got your weather station. It's connected up to, you've got your weather station that's connected up to your internet at home. It's giving information to your app on your phone. Well, how do we share that data with all the other weather aggregators out there, like CWAP, like APRS, like Windy, like Weather Underground. There's a piece of software called AccuParse, and what AccuParse will do is take all your information from your Accurite weather station, take that data, and send it to all these different aggregators, and also makes a nice web page for you that takes all your readings and puts it together on one page, so you can look at your history. If you go to my website, n2ugs.com, I think there's a button on there that'll take you to the weather station that I have here at my house.
WA2HKS repeater, UHF FM.
All right, let's move on to slide number 7. So here's a different types of weather stations that are available today in 2025. We've got the Accurite station, affordable good sensors, that's pictured in the upper left. The little doohickey on the left is a lightning sensor. It's an extra lightning and temperature sensor. So yes, it does detect lightning as well. The pictured on the upper right is a Davis weather station, and their instruments tend to be a lot more expensive. They're used by NOAA and other, I guess, weather stations that need to have that accuracy and durability and reliability. They are a lot more expensive, I'll say. Ambient is very similar to Accurite. Easy to configure. You can get onto the internet. It's got an app for yourself, and you can connect it into Weather Underground and all the other aggregators. EcoWet, the same thing. The EcoWet is pictured on the bottom right. It looks very similar to the Accurite, the Ambient, and the Ambient. The Davis, I'm going to say, is professional equipment. So here's a little more information. The Davis, you're looking at thousands. My weather station, I think I picked up for, I think it was $70 or $80. And it's been through a winter. I had no problems with it. All right, sighting and calibration. If we move on to slide 8, there's guidelines for setting up your weather station. You'd like to set it. They'd like you to have it at 33 feet above the ground. I live in a ranch. Mine's on top of my roof. I've got a thermometer at 5 feet, and I've got a thermometer on the roof as well. They're both linked together, and I've noticed that when the weather station is on the roof and it's close to the shingles, it picks up the heat off the shingles. So it's better, I guess, to have a separate thermometer unless, you know, you have it on, I guess, a pole and it's not picking up heat, radiant heat. Calibrate the barometer against local airports. When I first got my unit, it was totally out of whack with the barometer. I synced it up with the airport, and it's been lickety-split since. My friend AC2JK, he's got the same system at his house. When he got his unit too, his barometer was off-calibrated. We calibrated it with the airport, and it's been working great ever since. I'm going to take a break right here, let the repeater catch up for a second, and give me a second here to take some check-ins. So, if there's anyone else that's out there that would like to join the Barrett Technical and Information, please call W2EUP now.
W2EUP. This is K2LED, Bob, portable, Tono Tonawanda.
All right, welcome, Jay. KE2BYT out there, portable or mobile in Springville. Thanks for checking in tonight, Jay. Appreciate it. And Bob, K2LED. Thanks for checking in, Bob. It'll be interesting to see if you have a station at your house when we get to you. Moving along here. All right, so we were on slide 8. If you guys are just checking in now, Jay, I know you're mobile. Bob, we're at Barra-Tech.com. Click on the weekly topic and scroll down to the bottom. There's a PowerPoint we can follow along with. All right, moving on to slide 9, CWAP registration. So once you get your weather station, or if you have your weather station already, you want to go over to NOAA.gov. There's a little sign-up URL at the top there, and they're going to give you a CWAP ID, and that's going to come from the NCEP Central Operations. So, yes, you'll get a Citizen Weather Observer Program Registration ID. Now, just to fill you in on two little things. So, if you're an amateur radio operator, your CW ID is your amateur call. If you're not an amateur radio operator or you don't want to use your call, you can apply for one of these and they will give you an ID so that you can place your station on the map. If you are a amateur radio operator, you are allowed to use your call and it will show up on the CWAP map. Moving on to slide number 10. After you've got everything set up, this is a picture of Windy. Shows my station there at my house. There's a bunch of stations in the area. I'd like to say that there's more stations in the north towns than there are in the south towns, which is interesting because the south towns gets a lot of snow. Let's see here. Moving on to slide 11. So we were just talking earlier about putting your weather station on APRS. Or if you have a weather station that's out there in the wild, you can put that weather station on APRS. That station will connect to an iGate and then put your information on the CWAP network. That's for like a remote location. That there's no phone lines to or anything, you can send your weather that way. And you're going to be able to do it with Meshtastic. And Greg, when I get to you, I'm sure you're going to be able to tell us some cool stuff about that. Moving on to slide number 12. All right, so to make everything work, you're going to need your weather station. You're going to need something to parse that data. You're going to need it to send it to a TNC. Now, this is how you're doing it with RF, not via the Internet. You'll need a TNC, and you'll need a radio that's transmitting on 144.390, which is APRS frequency. And then APRIS is going to pick that up on their website, and you'll see it. Let's see here. Moving on to 13. Slide number 13. Direwolf's very easy to configure with Cantronics Packet Communicator 3. You can get a Packet Communicator 3 for like $20. I saw one on the shelf at Lancaster. I don't know if it's there anymore. But you'll need a weather station, a computer, a TNC, and a radio. I think most folks that have a weather station have a radio, VHF radio, and a computer already. It's the TNC that they're looking for. But like I said, they used to be like $300, even more. Now you can find them for $20. on to slide number 14. Once you set up your weather station, have it connected to the APRS network, your TNC is going to send out a message that looks similar to this. On the top there, it looks a bunch like a garbled numbers, but it really means something. Latitude and longitude, wind direction and speed, temperature and rain, pressure and humidity. A lot of the weather aggregators will keep all that data for you, history data for you, on their website, and it doesn't cost anything. So you can sometimes look back farther than 1 year to your data that's, that you've been collecting for them. On to slide number 15. We're going to look at live APRS math. My weather station is called KNYAMHER113. So if you look on APRS fee, my station is going to come up as N2UGS-WX. The KNY Amherst 113 is what comes up on Weather Underground and some other weather aggregators. So if you go to APRS.TO, you'll see a bunch of little weather WX circles, and they're little weather stations, obviously. You click on the weather station, it's going to show you the data for the past day, 24 hours. I took the screenshot from earlier today, so you can see what our temperature was at, or what was it, 13:14, around 3 o'clock. It's pretty much been 45 all day. Moving on to slide number 16. Now, you all knew that I had to bring this slide up because we can integrate the weather station with All Starlink. And we can also integrate it with Meshtastic. So when you hear the weather here on the repeater, the time and temperature, that temperature is actually coming from a CWAP station that is closest to Maine and Bailey. So that's where that temperature is coming from. Greg, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about Meshtastic and weather stations. I saw the other day a plane flew overhead, and we got a message saying that there's a plane flying overhead. Get in touch with them. That was pretty cool. Moving on to slide number 17. Quality control, just check your data to make sure, like what happened to me on July 1st, it was 146 degrees. Check your data because your barometer, if you get a brand new weather station, you'll have to calibrate that barometer to, I said the airport, but maybe the closest station towards you. That's about it. Sometimes if you don't get all that stuff correct, they won't publish your station on the network. So if you're having a problem trying to see your station pop up, it's happened to me before. I was pulling my hair out for days. It was because I think I had a decimal wrong in my longitude and latitude. And once that was fixed, it was showing right away. Until slide number 18, the Western New York CWAP and APRS map. If you look there, all those little blue little circles are weather stations in our area. They could be CWAP stations or they could be amateur stations. Although I think we only have 4 or 5 stations that are amateurs that have a weather station in our area. If you have one, it'd be great to see it online. It's not that hard to integrate it, and I'd be happy to help you guys. Slide number 19 is just a bunch of resource links about where you can get more information on your weather station, connecting it to the CWAP network or to APRS. Slide number 20, join the CWAP and APRS communities. Participate in BaraTechNet every Wednesday right here at 8 p.m. And you guys, if you have any questions on setting up a weather station, or you like to get your feet wet, or if you have a weather station, I'd love to help you and get that station online so that we can start collecting data and providing our meteorologists with the information that they need. Let's see, slide number 20. Does have any questions? Let's see here, folks. Let me go back to NetLogger here and see if we have any. We've got 14 check-ins so far today. Well, that concludes the PowerPoint presentation part for this evening. Let's take a break here and see if we can collect a couple more check-ins. Any stations out there interested in joining the Vera Technical and Information Net, please call W2EUP now.
WA2HKS repeater,
UP.
Buffalo.
AB7VGK. W2EUP. This is KD2TFP, Kilo Delta 2 Tango Foxtrot Bravo, join G tomorrow.
Welcome, KD7VGK. Welcome aboard. And Joe, KD2TFB. Good evening, Joe. Thanks for checking in tonight. Pleasure to have you aboard. Let's see here. So, we've got a couple questions for you guys that checked in today. Do you have a weather station? If you have a weather station that's connected to APRS or the CWAP network, what kind of weather station do you have? And is it connected like I said, to APRS or CWS or the CWAP program? Let's see what we've got here. Or and if you have any other general questions at all, go fire away. Rick, KC2XD, the director of the BaraTechNet. Rick, what do you have for us tonight? Do you have a weather station? And if not, let's get you one.
KC2XD, good evening, everybody. No, I do not have a weather station, although I've been dealing with weather my whole life. Hi. Yeah, it could be interesting, especially with winter coming on. I guess the closest thing I've ever come to anything winter-wise was there used to be a CB-er on the CB who had, his stepfather was Barry Lewis, the old Channel 2 weatherman. So he invited us over one time to see Barry Lewis sound asleep in his recliner. I know, it's just for it has really nothing to do with this topic. I just always thought that was funny. We all, as dummies, went over and looked at his stepfather sleeping. Back to that. Good job. W2EUP, KC2XD.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, Barry Lewis. I used to see Don Paul after he was done with the 11 o'clock news once in a while downtown. All right, Rick, thanks for that. Moving along here to Roy, KA8BYU. Roy, good evening in Blaisdell. Do you have a weather station? And is it connected up to the internet? If not, let's get you one, Roy. We need some monitors down there in the South Towns. Go ahead, Roy, pick it up. All right, no, Roy, we'll come back to you. Dave, W2ZZA. I can't remember, Dave, if I saw a weather station at your house, but although it was nighttime. But I don't remember. Dave, do you have a weather station? And if you do, is it connected to the CWAP or APRS network? Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, W2 EUP. W2 ZZA returning. Well, thanks, and good job so far on the net. An interesting topic as well, at least to me. Well, at this time I do not, but I have in the past, and I have been connected via APRS. 7 feet of snow in 3 days took care of my weather station 1 year, and it was never the same since. In fact, it stopped working on the second day, and it was broken. You know, it just got, you know how 7 feet of snow can be. That was some years back, and I used an old TNC, and I had an app running, the APRS app running on a small DC-operated computer, so it was battery-operated, because my shack is backed up with batteries, and so was the TNC. So it would continue to transmit the weather, even though the power would be out here, which I thought was an important factor as well. The weather station was autonomous as well. It was running on the same supply. So that's another thing that might be added to your thought process if you go to APRS delivery of weather, that it's only as good as the power at your house unless you have backup for it. Back to net.
Yep, absolutely right, Dave. I've seen a couple setups that run on solar power, although you have to use a pretty bigger battery, I guess. There's a self-contained unit I see for weather. You just connect the instruments to it, and then you can connect it to a bow thing. It all fits in a nice project box that you can put like on a pole or something outside, and then it charges off of solar for remote areas. It's pretty cool, although a digipeater has to be heard. Let's see here. Ruth and George, KD2GS at KD2GC, are you guys still around? Do you have a weather station, a thermometer, humidity, indoor, outdoor? What do you have over there, Ruth and George? Are you still with us? Let's see here. Tim, N2LCJ in Cheektowaga. I've been to your place, Tim, and I know you have a weather station or some sort of weather monitoring system. What do you have, and is it connected to APRS? Go ahead.
I appreciate the acknowledgement, N2LCJ. Yeah, I have a weather station. It's just a... it's a lacrosse. I don't think it can link to anything, but darn if I know. I got it from Marty when he moved to Georgia. I actually had a question going back to what you were saying about the TNCs. Will the system also work with a CAM Plus TNC?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. If you want to get fancy, absolutely. That'll definitely work. Tim was saying that he has a lacrosse temperature gauge, which you can pick up at Home Depot or Lowe's. They might even have them at the dollar store. I don't know. But they're readily available. And they transmit at around 400 megahertz. And if you get an SDR dongle, you can actually capture off of those lacrosse temperature gauges, humidity gauges, and you can parse that data and send it to APRS or CWAP. I set that up one night, and I was picking up all my neighbors' thermometers. It was pretty cool. Any more comments there, Tim? Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I did have one more question. I know because I'm, a member of Skywarn, too, that my proximity to the airport and kind of leaves me, useless as far as data reporting. Have you noticed any differences in your reporting versus stations that are, well, let's say, within a couple miles of your location?
In my instance, absolutely, because I sit a little bit lower than all the stations that are around me. So sometimes, you know, it'll be warmer or colder, depending on what's going on. Usually the wind has to be still, though. If the wind's blowing, the temperatures will be the same. But if the wind is still and it's at night, usually it gets a little bit colder than the rest of the neighborhood.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you answering the questions. I'll let you get to your check-in list and to LCJ back tonight.
Thank you, Tim. And then, yeah, I know you're right close to the airport, and they've got their sensors, too. They probably have the nice Davis stuff. But you set up your station, and then that gives them something to calibrate to. Hi. Andy, W2AJR in Cheektowaga. What's the temperature like over there?
It's chilly. It's chilly, 40, 42. I do have a weather station. It's a VVOR 7-in-1 budget-type thing. Does wind speed, rain, it's wireless, it's got a solar panel on it. Have no idea whether it connects to anything at all, but I would be interested in doing it if it was possible.
All right, cool, yeah. I'll send you some information on how to use an SDR and what an SDR dongle is, like $20 now. You plug that in your computer and run some software. Like I said, you're going to pick up your neighbors too, but every station's got a unique identifier, so you can pick out your own information and start sending it to the network. Awesome, Andy. Thank you. Thanks for checking in tonight. Greatly appreciate it. Greg, KE2, GCW. Greg, Mr. Meshtastic. Do you have a weather station? And tell us about a little bit about the new stuff that you've been doing with Meshtastic, too. Go ahead, Greg.
W2EP. This is KE2, GCW. Greg. And so I'd love to get a weather station in Snyder. And also one out in my property out in Friendship, New York. I do not have a weather station yet, but that will be a good project for me. With regards to Meshtastic, it does offer multiple paths to supporting weather users. Many Meshtastic nodes include sensors like weather, temperature, barometric pressure, and more, which then send that data along with regular telemetry data broadcast to the mesh. If your node doesn't have such sensors built in, some sensor data could be integrated over a standard serial or UART connection and then communicated privately or publicly over the mesh. One call out, you mentioned how some of the weather stations communicate over RF. Many of the weather stations use LoRa or LoRaWAN-based communications on the ISM 900 MHz band, just like Meshtastic uses, to integrate the different modules together to the control unit. And then on my Meshtastic mesh, I'm serving the local community with a BBS bot, and so you can direct message the bot various commands to get the NOAA weather forecast return for consumption, as well as different weather alerts and various other emergency alerts. The Meshtastic bot will essentially communicate on the public channels to share those with all the users. A recent development on the BBS bot is that I've been working with the open source developer for this meshing around BBS bot. Named Spud Gunman, and so they have, at our request, built a survey functionality. So I heard a mention of Skywarn earlier when we're trying to collect information about the depth of snow in the area. Now we've got a survey function where we can ask the user, is this measurement based on a total or a delta? And then a subsequent question of how deep is the measurement? And then a subsequent measurement or question asking, where is the municipality that they're located in? We can also link that up with the GPS position data. So we're doing a lot of fun stuff on the MeshTastic side as well, but I'd be interested in getting into the APRS and other weather station capabilities. Back to net control.
This is W2EUP with the Barra information on information and technical net. Thanks, Greg. Yeah, I'm still stuck at that point, but one day you're gonna see on my node that it's sending telemetry data for weather. It's going to happen, I guarantee you. I'm just stuck at this point right now. I'll figure it out. And I really like that airplane notification thing when an airplane's flying by, or if someone's got a note in an airplane, it tells you where they are and how many feet they're at. That was pretty cool. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate your check-in tonight. Carl, KE2FLX. Carl, what's the temperature like over at your place? KE2AAC, Andrew in Clarence. How hot is it over there?
About 70 degrees and sunshine. Not just kidding. Probably in the 40s and very damp and dreary. But I'm weather station, I don't have one yet. The only weather station I have is called looking out the window and checking it out. But maybe someday we'll put something up. Back to net. KE2AAC.
Yeah, Andrew, I think if you use an SDR and sniff in your neighborhood, you'll pick up a whole bunch of stuff. I bet you your neighbors have all sorts of devices. And then you can harvest their data. Hi. Thanks, Andrew, for checking in tonight. Greatly appreciate it. KE2, BYT, Jay in Springville, are you still with us? Jay, do you have a weather station?
No, I don't have a weather station, but it is definitely something that I've been thinking about setting up. But I definitely have too many pokers in the fire and too many projects ongoing, so that might take a backseat. As far as the weather, it is 43 degrees here and very rainy. Thank you very much for doing the net. Good subject. And back to net.
Thanks, Jay. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a station down there in Springville to see what it's doing down there. Like Tim was saying, and 2LCJ was talking about the Skywarn net. Sometimes they teach you how to measure the snow with a snowboard, and sometimes they'll ask for reports. Actually, Andrew ran that once before. Bob, K2LED in Tonawanda, what's your weather station doing this evening?
Well, good evening, Jeremy, and everyone on net. I have to say this was a nice subject and well presented, Jeremy. I haven't been on Weather Underground in such a long time. I just brought it up on the computer, and between the tabs going across the top, the giant ad, and then Weather Underground's banner. The map basically consists of 50% of the screen. It really burns me when they put these giant ads across the top, taking up so much real estate. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but it's terrible. You can't half your content's gone. All right, weather stations. So, today I went out and got the mail. My hand got wet, and it was cool, so I knew it was raining, and I knew the temperature dropped. Let's see here, weather stations. I've got two lacrosse stations. What's this one over here? An AccuRite. And then, believe it or not, an old wireless radio shack that picks up radio waves, and you could select forecasts for different areas, and it has a nice graphical display, believe it or not, shows your temperature range for each day and icons for what to expect, and then you could just click along, and it'll just pick up different cities throughout New York. I don't know what frequency it receives on. I'm assuming a low band. I'm not too sure, but geez, I've had the thing for like 30 years now, and it's been functioning. Let me drop, and I have one last interesting story. I also have a weather station in the motorhome, and several years ago, I'm out camping, and I'm looking, you know, it's in the mid-80 degrees, and I'm looking at its calculated forecast, and they're calling for temperatures, lows in the high 30s, highs in the low 40s, and mixed precipitation with rain and snow, and I'm trying to figure out, what in the heck, it's in the mid-80s, and I forgot, the remote sending unit I keep in my RV refrigerator so that I could monitor its temperature. So we always laugh when we look at the weather forecast in the motorhome. It's always mixed precipitation and cold weather. Doesn't matter what the temperature is outside. K2LED, back to that.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Bob. That's really funny. Yeah, it's snowing in your refrigerator and freezer. What I've seen too, some folks have is a weather stick, and they're really cheap. They're like $10, maybe $5, but it's a piece of wood that you put on the side of your house vertically. Well, you screw it into a post that's vertical on your house, and that weather stick will change with the barometric pressure. So if it's going to be nice out, you know, it's going to be, the stick's going to go up. If it's going to be rainy out, the stick goes horizontal. Another good way to see what's going to happen. Let's see here. KD7VGK in Arizona. How's the weather out there in Arizona? Pick it up. Go ahead.
Thank you for calling KB7 VGK in Las Vegas. I do have a weather station. Right now it's 78 degrees here in Vegas, and it's been kind of a nice day, and I do have it transmit data to Weather Other Ground. Back to Net Control.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for sharing your data with us. Appreciate that. Bill, N4NJJ, was showing me on the cameras over there on Angel Peak the other day that you guys had some snow. So you had snow before we did here in Buffalo. But then your elevation is a lot higher than we are here. I mean, I'm sitting at 600, 650 to 700 feet, which isn't much elevation at all. Thanks for checking in tonight. Appreciate it. Joe, KD2TFB. In Cheektowaga. Are you still there, Joe? Do you have a weather station? And what's the temperature like? Go ahead.
No weather station for me. The temperature, I have a little widget on my screen that tells me it's 8 degrees with a dew point of 6. Now, of course, that's in Celsius because it comes from aviation weather. My neighbor to the north actually has a weather station on his backyard shed, which reports to Weather Underground. So, unfortunately, no amateur radio involved there. I don't know if it'd be kind of worth it. I got the neighbor to the north, and I'm so close to the airport anyway. pretty much quite the same. KD2TFB back to net control.
Ah, cool. Your neighbor's got one, all right. Maybe sometime I can show you, Joe. We can capture his information and publish it for, well, if his shed is in pretty much in your backyard, we could publish his shed information on the network. Let's see here. That's the end of the list, Joe, KD2TFB. Let's see if we have any other check-ins from around the world. Please call W2EUP.
ZZA with comment.
Go ahead, Dave. W2ZZA from W2EUP.
Thank you, W2EUP, W2ZZA. I just want to point out for those that are not participating in sending weather information to the network, if you would, you can always receive information from the network on KEB 98 at 162.55 megahertz. I'm sure most of your handhelds are capable of receiving that. It's probably a single button as well that you can press. And, you know, that's the source of weather for those that are not connected but have a radio. Anyway, back to net control.
Yep, good information, Dave. Appreciate that. Yeah, I know some of those weather radios, the emergency weather radios, when the special tone goes out, that radio activates and tells you that there's a storm coming. Now it's pretty much, it's all digital, so the voice on there is a digital voice. It's probably AI. But I don't know if you guys, Dave, if you remember back in, long time ago, maybe 20, could have been even 30 years ago, they had a live person on there, and the gentleman that did it for Buffalo, it sounded sort of like Elmer Fudd a little bit, and he used to say, the National Weather Service, wait a.
Oh, I do remember, yes. Local weather forecast.
Yeah, that was great. All right, cool, Dave. Appreciate it. Let's do another final call up here for any other check-ins or anybody else that I missed that would like to contribute to the net tonight. Please call W2EUP now.
K2LED recheck.
Now, if we had comments from Thomas, KC2XD.
Ah, how could we forget Thomas? Thomas the logger, of course, and K2LED. Go ahead, Bob, with your comment.
Yeah, does anyone know what frequency my old Radio Shack weather station would receive broadcasted by I don't know who? I'm assuming it's low band somewhere, but it's picking up the forecast for, you know, from Buffalo to Syracuse, you know, all these different cities in the region. And, you know, there's quite a bit of data in there. And again, that thing's quite old. So, you know, it's been around for years and years. Still working to this day. K2LED back to net.
I think that's on a subcarrier of NED.
Yeah, I was going to say that it could be RDS. It's picking up information from RDS. I know the clock in my car will update through RDS, maybe some form of that. Thomas, I don't know how I could forget you. Our net logger of the night, W2BYJ, Thomas in Tonawanda. What's the weather like over there, Thomas?
It was cold and rainy, about mid-40s, and I didn't like looking at it, so I shut the window. I do not currently have a weather station. Maybe I should get one. Though, by the way you worded the presentation, it seems like the north towns are pretty saturated with them already. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of neighbors in particular already have them within a quarter mile of here. Something I might look into in the future, but not an immediate future project for me. W2BYJ back to net.
All right, thanks, Thomas. Thanks for not logging and checking in tonight. appreciate that. Yeah, there's quite a few in Tonawanda, that's for sure. And, Thomas, your mesh-tastic node. Not picking up your mesh-tastic node in Tonawanda, even though I've got the beam pointed towards you, but I am picking up the mesh-tastic node that you have south of Buffalo. And it's not pointed there. I don't know what's going on. All right, let's do one more call up to see if there's anyone else wishing to join. Please call W2EUP.
Good evening. The time is 9 p.m. Weather conditions: partly cloudy. Temperature 46 degrees. This is the WA2HKS repeater, serving Buffalo and the Niagara Peninsula for over 50 years. Please join our Discord chat server online at Bear.chat. That's Bravo Alpha Romeo Romeo Alpha dot Charlie Hotel Alpha Tango.
KD2TFB reject.
KD2TFB, go ahead.
Forgot to mention, you mentioned weather stick. You know, I heard of a weather stick before. Not quite like you described it, though. But it's actually a lot more primitive. It's like, if the weather stick is wet, it's raining outside. If it's got frost on it, it's probably snowing, and so on and so forth. I don't know if you ever heard that one. So, the voice that Weather Radio uses, the National Weather Service, it's not AI. It's actually, they purchased some Nuance licenses. And the voice they use these days is called Paul. Thought you might like to know that. KD2TFB back to net control.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, the weather stick, I think we're talking about the same thing. It's very primitive. It's literally a stick. Yes. Let me see here. All right. Before we close tonight's session of the Bear Attack Net, I'd like to thank the... Let's see how many stations we had in here. 16 stations who checked in and participated this evening. Your comments and discussion help make this net a valuable learning experience for all of us. Special thanks to our guests, those who shared their knowledge this evening. Remember, the TechNet meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Bear System. And each week we feature a new technical topic for a discussion. I'd also like to mention, if you're not a Bear member, click that button on the top of the website that says Join Bear. There's an online form that you can fill out there, and then a PayPal button to contribute your dues to. Also, please join the Bera Discord channel for up-to-date event information, and we've got a nice group of people in there that are very friendly and are willing to share their knowledge with anyone to join. So if you'd like to join the Bera chat, Discord chat, please go to Bera, that's B-A-R-R-A, .chat, and that'll send you an invite so that you're allowed into the Discord room. Let's see here. This is N2UGS, net control for tonight's Bear Attack Net. Now returning the WA2HKS repeater system back to normal amateur use, and 73 to all. Have a good evening. Appreciate everybody that checked in. Good night. And 2UGS is now clear.
Nice job. W2ZZA also clear.
Very good, Jeremy. KC2XT.
It sounds like I need to start putting just a BYJ recheck somewhere in the middle of the list when I'm logging in the future. W2BYJ.
I'm sorry, Thomas. That's the second time I did that. I don't know why.
You're not clear, you're opaque, and 2LCJ.
Hey, Tim, how are you feeling? I remember you were just, like, in a lot of pain. It's KD2TFB.
hey, thanks for checking up on me. I'm about 90%. I'm walking without a cane. Still got some weakness in the leg, but and it's, you know, still in my hip, and it's still a little sore, but I'm doing much better. Appreciate it.
You seen a professional like a chiropractor or anything like that?
Yeah, same chiropractor I've been going to for many years. Mirzwa Chiropractic, right over by, right over across from my Infinite Prague.
Oh, wow, yeah, that little office complex there, right near the thruway exit. Yeah, KD2TFB.
Dude's a miracle worker. I've been going to him for, well, ever since he worked for Monroe, probably 7 or 8 years. And this is the second time he's pulled me out of a jam.
Quite literally, KE2FLX.
Indeed.
Well, as we have most of the neck controllers probably still listening, I would like to suggest that I can do a presentation on NetLogger.
Absolutely, Joe. You just let me know what Wednesday you like to take.
I'll work it out with the East Coast Reflector guys, because I'm doing the Celebrity Call Sign of the Week for them on Open Mic Night instead of TechNet Night. That's an awfully long night for them, is what they said. It's like, I'll bet it goes to like midnight some days. Anyhow, the one thing is, for that, instead of producing some sort of slide deck, I thought I'd use something like Jitsi Meet and do a screen share so they can see in real time how to manipulate the program.
I actually used one the other day. Someone was having a problem using some software, and I used a free one. And you just send them a link. You don't even have to send them any credentials or anything. You just send them a link. They click on the link, and they see what's on your screen.
That's the way Jitsi can work. The thing I just found out tonight is in order to initiate it, you have to log in with either Google or GitHub. I don't think you have to present credentials to join a meeting, just you have the name of the meeting to join, and that's it. Actually, I just thought, does Discord have a screen sharing sort of real-time sort of thing there?
They absolutely do. We used it for the last tech meeting.
Well, there you go. I could use that instead. Yeah, sure, I got the Discord client installed on my Linux system.
Hey, Jeremy, have you checked out the CBS bot yet?
Say again, I'm sorry.
Have you had a chance to check out the Meshtastic bot yet?
The Meshtastic, what is it called?
The BBS bot.
Oh, no, but I saw in there that you gave a whole bunch of commands. I haven't got into there yet, but I saw, Greg, what was really cool was the plane that was flying by, and it was telling them not the altitude and direction and how fast they're going. Now, how does Meshtastic know the flight number and where it's going? Or does the user have to put that in?
Yeah, so a lot of times the user will set their flight number as part of their Meshtastic long name for their device. And that just makes it easier to, keep track of who's flying overhead. I noticed the other day we were getting 12 different messages over 18 minutes, which seems a little over the top. So I did work with the developer to put a rate limiter on the airtime, overhead announcements there. And so it only announced now once every 30 minutes for a single node.
Is that the potato spud guy?
Yeah, that's Spud Gunman. He's very active in the Discord, official MeshTastic Discord, and he's been great to work with for all of these feature enhancements and bug fixes.
Well, I got a couple more things that I've got to change on my custom firmware, and then I'm going to upload it, cross my fingers, and then I think you're going to see my weather telemetry come across on the mesh node. Once I figure that out, how to do that, I'm going to write something up together to make it easier for other people to do it.
Yeah, that'll be amazing. And if you want, you can message that data to my bot, and then we could serve your local weather data to the users instead of pulling something from the federal government.
What I wanted to tell you too, I forgot to mention this during the net, but so if you look along the New York State Thruway, along the 290, along the 190, there's in the medians, or sometimes off towards the side, you'll see little stations, and they've got a tiny microwave antenna on it. And I guarantee you that's LoRa. And what that is for is that it opens and closes the storm drains for water. It does storm drain management.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because you're able to get pretty good line of sight for, I'm sure, a lot of highway applications.
Although I've seen some of them shooting towards the sky, so it might be coming from a satellite.
Yeah, I guess that makes a lot more sense, too.
Speaking of infrastructure antennas, I've noticed that as I drive along Main Street, a lot of the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority buildings have antennas pointing both directions. It seems to be all the rail stations have antenna pointing south and antenna pointing north. Looks to be in the 8-900 range.
Yeah, and I've seen that. And do you think the cameras that they have in Buffalo, do you think that works on peer-to-peer? I don't know. I think it sort of might.
I've never really thought about how those cameras work.
Talking about the flock cameras, I think they operate over cellular.
A quick check of Google brings me an AI overview that says they believe the NFTA uses a public safety grade P25 800 megahertz radio communication system. Don't know how accurate that is.
I know from other sources that they have 800 megahertz type stuff, I think. So so that would make sense. Just wasn't sure exactly what they were using the above ground antennas for.
Well, I really appreciate connecting with all of you on this because it gets the juices flowing in my head. I'm learning so much every time we talk. I think I heard P25 for the first time when we were at the Meshtastic meetup at the tea shop over there in Amherst just a couple weeks ago, and now I'm seeing it elsewhere.
This is amateur repeater station WA2HKS.
Yeah, I still need to get my solar node on the roof. Jeremy, if you're still listening, that's probably why you can't see it, is I don't have that much height right now. W2BYJ.
It's funny, though, that I'm picking up the one down at your dad's place.
Are you getting that one directly?
No, I think it's a couple hops.
Yeah, I feel like that one must be able to see Kimball or something.
Propagation's funny. I can hit that repeater with the HT and Delvin at 900 megahertz, but I can't hear you, Thomas. That is strange. KC2XT.